Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 86, the law and the gospel. Well, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in this sermon from the Heidelberg Catechism, in the sermons from the Heidelberg Catechism so far, you have seen how sinful you are in questions 1 through 11. You have seen how you are saved, questions 12 through 85. And you will now hear how you are to serve in questions 86 through 129. Sometimes this third part of the Heidelberg Catechism is called the gratitude section because it deals with how you show your thankfulness to the Lord for his salvation from your sins. And of course, thankfulness must be seen in service. But the first thing you will learn is how you are able to do good works of service. And of course, the benefits of doing those good works of service. So even when you are serving God for his salvation, he rewards you. And that's an incentive for you to even more so do the good works that he has called you to do. Our headings then are 2, the basis of good works, and then 2, the benefits of good works. Our goals are that you will recognize that you're only able to do good works because of your salvation, and that you recognize the benefits of good works, that you will then do good works. Know how you're able to, the benefits of it, and then that you will be motivated to do good works. So question and answer 86. We have been delivered from our misery by God's grace alone through Christ, and not because we have earned it. Why then must we still do good together? To be sure, Christ has redeemed us by his blood. But we do good because Christ by his Spirit is also renewing us to be like himself, so that in all our living we may show that we are thankful to God for all he has done for us, and so that he may be praised through us. And we do good so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and so that by our godly living our neighbors may be won over to Christ. So first, the basis of good works. The basis of our good works is Jesus Christ. You heard already today, Christ is the center of our lives. Well, the Bible teaches that doing good works is a consequence or a result of your salvation. You do good works because you are saved. You don't do good works in order to be saved. Because no one will do good works in order to be saved. And no one can do good works in order to be saved. You only do good works as a result. Armenians and Roman Catholics, on the other hand, argue that good works will help you earn your salvation. They say, for example, you must go to church. You must help the starving kids in Africa. You must be kind to animals. You must pray to God. You must buy flowers for your wife. You must give your tithe. You must not steal from your boss, but work fairly. And they act as if good works would cause God to be more inclined to save you because you were reasonably good. Sort of ties in nicely with the doctrine of election from the Belgian Confession of Faith. They really want to say God looks and say, well, he's trying, and therefore, I will save him. What does that do? Well, first of all, the Bible teaches that no other work than the active and passive obedience of Jesus Christ can earn your salvation. He obeyed God's law perfectly for us, so we're credited with his righteousness, and he took the punishment for our sins, so we are declared holy. And this is why we hold to covenant theology. Jesus kept the covenant for us, so his obedience is counted as yours, and his punishment is counted as yours. And that's why Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who try their best and ask God for help. No. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who He lived for and whom He died for. The ones whom He died for. Those who hold that good works help earn salvation are rejecting the clearly taught doctrine of predestination. This is the teaching that you were chosen for salvation before the world began. But do you see how, again, as we learned in the first service, do you see how bad doctrines rob God of His glory and praise? If you start off saying the world's falling apart and Jesus is coming tomorrow, it changes how you live. You get that wrong, it affects how you live. And the same thing is true. If you think that it's up to you and it's your good works, or at least partially your good works, and then you realize that you are intrinsically bad, you're bad in your soul, your thoughts, your words, your actions are not right, imagine the frustration that comes. But more than that, imagine how you rob God of the glory that belongs to Him. You can never worship properly if you're Arminian, because you are taking some of the credit of what God does. And if you did something good, you should get some of the praise. But you can never worship God properly unless you realize that salvation is 100% from Jesus Christ. More than that, the other problem is when they say, well, we're not predestined. That's not true. If it's got to be, it's up to you. You know, the popular Schuller doctrine. Well, the Bible says even our good works are predestined by God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 in your notes. Let's read together. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So is God surprised by the good works you do now as a Christian? No, He planned them. And you willingly do them. So you were saved, and then you serve. Of course, some people like to argue that, well, if you know you're predestined, you will be careless and you wouldn't do the work that you should do. In fact, the opposite is true. Good works are not hindered by your belief in predestination. Predestination helps you to do good works. Why? Because it guarantees you reward for your good works. Nothing done for Christ is unrewarded. If you are a child of God and you do a good work, there's a record of it made. You're storing up treasures in heaven, where thieves cannot break in and steal, where it will not rust, or bugs will not destroy them. There's another group of people who don't like this idea of good, of the Bible teaching on good works. And they are called antinomians. On one hand, you have the Arminians and the Roman Catholics. You can put them together because they like to say you cooperate with God, you do some things for your salvation. Antinomians argue that Christ has freed you from the law and therefore you don't have to do good works as part of the law. In their mind, and especially the health and wealth gospel people, you keep God's law based on how much reward you want. To them, good works are not required but are appreciated by God. This, of course, is a lie from hell. The fact is, Christ did not free you from the law. You are still obligated to keep the law. Christ freed you from the curse of the law. This is the most important distinction to make. You are still bound to obey the law. You're still bound to do good works. Look at what the Bible says, the exact words the Apostle Paul used to the church in Galatia, where there were some people who were promoting this idea that you were saved by keeping the law. He says in verse 13, together, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So the punishment that should come to us Jesus took for breaking the law. But we still have 10 laws, all 10 that we are bound to obey. Antinomian people, we say in short, are anti-law. Now, what are scriptural proofs to show that Christians are indeed commanded to do good works in response to the work that Christ did in them and for them? What are the good works that we do as a response, as a result? And that's what we are going to look at in the rest of the catechism question from 86 to 129. You are, first of all, commanded to worship. That is a good work. That's a work that only a Christian person can do, because there's no worship without sacrifice. There's no prayer without sacrifice. There's no singing without sacrifice. You can't go to God on your own. You can only go because you're saved. You can go with the blood of Christ. Remember how the priest could not go into the innermost part of the temple unless he made a sacrifice for his sins? That's the picture there. You can only worship if you are saved. And you are called, as those who have been saved, to praise. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 now, together. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He didn't say you need to do some good things to come out of the darkness. He's saying once you've come out of the darkness, you are chosen, you are special, and you are to praise him now. So your greatest work that you can do in life is worship. You could help thousands of poor people. You could remain faithful to your spouse. You could protect your boss's property. You could speak against abortion. You can stand up against the premier, against the perversion she's promoting. But if you don't worship God, you're ignoring your most important duty on earth. The greatest good work of all. And that's why those come in law 1 through 4, the first four laws. God commands good work. If you value your salvation, which is all of God, then you will worship him. You will not be absent or treat worship carelessly. You will come prepared for worship. You'll focus and fight against the urge. When you're tired, you will fight to listen to the sermon so that you can indeed be blessed by God. Second, you are commanded to work for your neighbor. That's law 5 through 10. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read together. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So not only are you to do the good works, but you have to do them with zeal. You know, the natural tendency is, well, I guess I'd better do that. My neighbor has some problem. I guess I better go and give him a jump start, or I got to clean that snow again. And I know it's a little soon to talk about that, but I don't have to shovel it. So. It's very easy to say, well, let me just do it. And he says, no, you must be zealous for the good work. Zealous for good works. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 also, together. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness to God. You've been raised from the dead, and you are to do the works of the ones who have been raised from the dead. So you were chosen for salvation and heavenly appointment to work, and you respond then in obedience. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 and 18 say, together, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So he addresses both parts here. Those who say you can do good works without salvation. As I heard man say today in the radio, you have to exercise your faith. And you have to repent. And if you do these two steps, then you will be saved. Well, the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. That's just the means. But you're saved by grace. You would not repent unless God gives you grace. Repentance is a gift of God. You would not be saved unless you have faith. But faith is a gift of God, so you're saved by grace. But the way he was describing it, that these things come naturally from you, and as long as you do these things, you'll be okay. No, Jesus say, if you are bad, you're going to bear bad fruit. On the other hand, when he has saved you, and he has declared you to be good and righteous, then you're able to bear fruits according to your nature. So you know you have to bear good fruits, you have to do good works. And that good work, those good works come as a result of your salvation. But we have this incentive now, and that's our second point this afternoon. The benefits of good works. The benefits of good works. What are the benefits then of doing good works in response to your salvation? Well, there are many. Our catechism question highlights them for us. Through your good works, you bring glory to your Redeemer. You know, the easiest thing is to start thinking, well, if you do good works, you're going to store up treasures in heaven. But that's not where we begin. We start with the first and most important thing in the world is the glory of Jesus Christ. The highest goal of salvation is not to save you, it's to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Ultimately, you are therefore to give yourself to God's service, to His law. Christ bought you and you belong to Him, body and soul. And you express then that love for Christ through worship and work. You glorify God when you worship Him and you work for Him. If you don't worship and work for Christ, you show that you do not truly know His love. And you're not a Christian. And you need to become one. You need to see the love of Christ and receive what He offers to you. Salvation by grace through faith. If you only work and worship Christ and worship Jesus Christ partially, it shows you don't love Him as much as you ought to. If you don't worship Him at all, it means, regardless of what you say, you can say, I've been christened, I've gone through the whole process, I'm a Christian. But if you don't work for Him and you don't worship Him, you're not a Christian. But there are some, and this is where you have the large category of people, who worship and work for Jesus partially, when it's convenient. That shows you don't love Him as much as you ought to. And most are in this category. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians then, chapter 10, verse 31, together, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. He knew there was a problem. Wanting to take credit for what we do. Wanting praise from others. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, together, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You notice the phrase repeated, which are God's, which are God's. You belong to Him. And therefore you are to work and worship Him, bring glory to His name. On the contrary, a Christian lacking in good works will make people laugh at the Lord and hurt Him. You ever heard that phrase? You are a Christian, you do that. He's a Christian and that's what he said. That's not working for the glory of Jesus Christ. Strangers will think that Christ's salvation on the cross was useless or not as important or not as valuable. Do you see the call to a good life? Not just the call to good doctrines. Yes, important to know the doctrines because they form the foundation of how we live. But it doesn't stop at the doctrines. We have to get this into our hearts, that we let the Word of God influence our lives, that we will speak things that will reflect who we are and do things that reflect who we are, not things that will take away glory that belongs to our Lord. So the first thing you do when you're doing your good works is always ask, is this glorifying to God? Or am I doing this for people to like me and think how good I am? When I help the poor, do other people have to know about it? The people who are in danger in Florida and all parts of the world from natural disasters, can you help someone quietly without telling others about it? Next, through your good works, you bring blessings to yourself and you show you believe in Jesus Christ. First is the glory of God. That's why you do good works. That should be the easiest reason, the first reason. But you also bring blessings to yourself and you show that you believe in Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 10 says, together, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You need to do so much good works that you remind yourself that, yes, I belong to Jesus. That's why I'm doing these things. You're assured of your salvation that you belong to Him. See, the Holy Spirit uses good works to strengthen your faith. Every time you do a good work, let your mind be drawn back to the work of Jesus Christ for you. And this is what will nourish your soul. Well, why am I doing this? For people to like me? No, I'm doing this because Jesus loved me. And that becomes a means by which you're strengthened. Let me give you an illustration of this. If you don't practice your computer programming, you forget your codes. If you don't practice your cooking, you forget your recipes. And the rewards, of course, are not good. You forget your recipes, your families will be presented with lots of burnt offerings or offerings that are not as tasty or good anymore. And so the more you practice doing good works, the more the Holy Spirit is able to shine His light on you and bless you. The canons of Dort assures you that you are God's children. How? By the serious and holy pursuit of a good conscience and good works. The Belgian Confession reminds you that if you have faith, you will live a new life. So the second thing is, you bring rewards to yourself. And you show other people that you belong to Jesus. You bring blessings and you help others to believe. Next, through your good works, you bring good to your neighbor. How does this happen? Well, first of all, doing good work as a Christian surely will add weight to your evangelism. When you care for someone, they'll be more likely to listen to you. When people see the way you love your family, they will say, that man, that woman, there's something different about them. Look at the way they love. Look at the way they're patient. That will help. And they'll be more likely to listen to you. Look at some passages now from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You should know this from your heads, but let's say them together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your life proves the gospel. Proves it to yourself, proves it to others. Romans 14, verse 18, together. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. things that are approved by men, people will see Christ in you. And listen, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, together, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your good works adds weight to your evangelism and ultimately brings good to your neighbor. Literally, the Bible says that you will lead men to salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Together, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. They will see by your good works Jesus in you. You know, we speak of your life being a sermon, a beautiful sermon that no minister can preach, because you show practically the impact of the work of Jesus Christ on your life. Oh, they will not know all the details of salvation, but they will know the effect of salvation, and then they will look to that one who worked in you, and they will find salvation. That's how your good work works. Even if the hearer rejects the gospel, even then his condemnation will bring glory to God. On the contrary, a Christian lacking in good works is a nuisance to the church of Jesus Christ. That's strong language, but it is true. The one who's a Christian must show good works. Not partially, but his whole life should be reflective of good works. And good works really means you're obeying the law of God. You obey the Ten Commandments. If you do not do good works, if your life is devoid of good works, your non-Christian observers see Christianity as only a Sunday religion, and will hurt the salvation of the prospective convert. The gospel becomes more powerful when it is accompanied with its effect in the lives of others. So to bring good to your neighbor, live a godly life in words and in actions. Don't hurt the man's salvation possibility by living a poor example of Christ. Christianity is much more than Sunday, what you do from 1 o'clock and 2:45. It's what you do on Tuesday afternoon when you're, or Thursday morning or Thursday evening when you're tired and somebody cuts you off on the road, and how you respond, or somebody calls you on the phone and they want to push you to buy something, and how you respond to that person. You're reflecting Christ. And you have to do it when you are tired, when you're sleepy, when you don't feel like it. Let's conclude. Good works show your obedience to Christ. Good works show you have faith in Christ. Good works show that you are a Christian and you're thankful for your salvation. Good works honor your Savior. Good works bring great rewards to you in heaven and sometimes even on earth. Good works are necessary to show the non-Christian that you are a Christian and you add impact to the gospel when you do your good works. A Christian is like a flower that cannot stop displaying its beautiful petals and attracting honeybees. You ever seen a flower saying, "No, I'm not going to open this year, I'm going to hide"? What does a flower do? Displays itself for the world, and so provides honey. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if you're struggling with doing good works, don't panic. I know I've said lots of things here, and you, as you listen to it, like I feel myself, I'm just not doing enough good works, or not doing it consistently. Well, don't panic if you feel that way. That struggle is a lifelong struggle. Every Christian can identify with that. But the truth is, you still have to do good works. You see, not because a task is difficult does it mean that God will excuse you from doing it. You still have to fight to do good works. So what do then? You have to do it, and it's going to be hard. You need to pray. Pray and ask God for help to do good things. And then look to God's word and daily remind yourself of the greatness of Christ's good work for you on the cross. You see, if you look at your neighbor, you will think, he's not particularly nice. But if you reflect on the good work that Christ has done for you, when you see your covenant keeper's blood pouring down his face, and you see the crown of thorns stained with blood, when you reflect of your covenant keeper's act of obedience, his humiliation, his physical suffering, his rejection by his own family and the religious leaders of his day, when you reflect upon how he was denied by his own friends, and he did it all for you, that's what will motivate you to do good works. Nothing else. That's what will motivate you. So pray for help, and then look to God's word to remind yourself of Christ's good work for you. Only then you will do good works and do it consistently. If you're not a Christian, well, maybe you have tried to do good works to save you. You hope your good works would please God, and you hope that you would satisfy your conscience. But you became disappointed because you realized that you are not truly satisfied in your heart and that you are not pleasing God. But there is hope. Realize that your good works cannot give you favor with God, and then go to God and do what? Go to God and plead the good work of Jesus. How he lived for you and how he died for you. God will accept you as his child. And more than that, then he will enable you to do the good works that you've been called to do. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for the reminder of the good works that we need to do in response to your salvation. We thank you that you did not depend upon us cooperating with you or doing good works in order to earn our salvation, for we would never be saved. But you have graciously saved us by grace through faith. And therefore, Father, enable us to do good works, and give us the desire to do good works, and give us the instruction we need to do good works. For that is the effect of the gospel. The gospel restores us to the place where we can obey your law. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.